And anybody remember what we talked about last Sunday? Well, that was Sunday night. All right. I mentioned that we wanted to talk about three words: awakening, longing, and craving. I'd like for what we present to be ultimately usable for our spiritual welfare with the help of the Lord, but I'd like for it to be something in these three words that we can realize can be applicable to our everyday life and the things that we meet, challenges and such like. So we tried to talk about awakening and what it's like to come to a point in our life that we have an understanding, we have a realization of something we never had before. And I'm sure that we've all had those. And we talked about that last Sunday. And so the next step in my mind is that we would have a longing. And I want us to think about what it means to have a longing. A dictionary definition, at least partially, is an eager desire, an earnest desiring. Many times this is the dreaming stage of achievement. Have you ever had a longing for something and maybe realized it was out of your reach, at least for the time being? I wanted to be a legal driver, and I wanted to drive and did drive before I was legal, but just because I was in a setting where I could. But there was this rumor that I don't even remember. You could probably do some research and find out, but there was this rumor that the world was coming to an end in 1981. Well, that's the year that I turned 16 and could get my driver's license. And I hoped it was after the end of October. I wanted to be a legal driver. So that's pretty insignificant now since I've been a legal driver for so long. But anyway, I want us to just maybe think about the things that you have had a longing for. Maybe it seems like your awakening, the realization that there could be accomplishment, there could be achievement in a certain area. Maybe it's been a long time ago that you realize, you know, area of my life, this is very much fundamental day-to-day thing. I when I was a small boy, probably 5 or 6 or 7 years old, something like that, I'd hear some talk about somebody getting married, and I thought that there is no way. I was not interested in getting married at all. And to me, the thing, I thought girls were just, there was just something obviously different, and I just didn't have any desire at that time. And I thought that it would be so embarrassing to have to kiss a girl up in front of everybody. That was my main reservations. But, you know, there came a time that there was an awakening that happened. And I thought that getting married would be a good thing. And so my mind changed and my thought process changed. And then there came this desire. There was a longing for that. I'm glad that it's been realized in my life, and a week from Monday it'll be 35 years that my wife and I got married. So, you know, I want us to catch a glimpse, if we can, in our mind, and allow our minds to start thinking about how this awakening and then this longing and this process begins to develop. You know, those that achieve monumental places in their life, it's not something that gets just handed to them. It doesn't just happen without some process going on. So, really, I believe that the longing part ought to be one of the shortest periods of our life. But unfortunately, for many of us, we long for something. We have this desire for it. We know it's there. We're aware of it. We've been awakened. Maybe it's something to do with everyday life, like being a driver or being married. And maybe it's something else. Maybe it's being able to be employed in a certain occupation or something like that. So all of these things, there's the potential of us being awakened, and yet the longing or the desire just keeps to go on and go on and go on, to the point that maybe sometimes we get labeled as a dreamer. You ever heard of someone just being a dreamer? What do we usually think? Well, they ought to do something. They ought to put some legs underneath their dreams, we might say. They need to put some action to it. But I want us to think about, there's a lot of fears that come along in the longing stage of our achievements in life and achievements spiritually. Ultimately, that's where we want to go with this thought. But we recognize as individuals that there's this time that we don't fully understand what's entailed in reaching that achievement. The first time that somebody realizes that they're not saved, I would think that there's this awakening. That's what we think of as somebody realizing that I'm lost, I'm undone, I need salvation. But then somewhere there has to be a desire, a longing for that. And we don't want someone to long and never come to the place of realizing that they can be saved. But may the Lord help us to be willing to put some action to it, but recognize that there is a legitimate place in our life for a desire, for longing. It has to be cultivated that way. So I'd like to turn to Romans, the 8th chapter, and notice a couple verses here. Romans chapter 8, we'll read, I believe it's 24 and 25. He says, the writer, the Apostle Paul says, "We are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." So a hope, a longing, a hope that Mr. Perfect or Mrs. Perfect will come along in your life, a hope that you'll have an opportunity to cultivate and a trade, a skill, to be able to work in a particular line of work, a hope that you can be saved. You know, once we have come to that place, then the hope is kind of, it's past tense, like awakening is past tense. But there has to be a stage of desire. We won't achieve anything that we don't want to achieve. All right? Have you ever wanted something for somebody else? Or wanted somebody to want something? I have. I've wanted somebody else to want something worse than they wanted to want it. Are you following me? I want them to see the need. I've wanted my children to see the need of doing certain things. And I've wanted it a whole lot worse than they did. Because they didn't want it. They had no longing. They had no desire for it. As a parent, I felt like it was my responsibility to train them to want it in some instances. But beyond that, it's beyond my ability to influence them in a great extent. They have to have a want to. They have to have a longing. You have to have a longing. You have to have that hope of having a relationship with God, a relationship with your spouse and with your family. I can't put that in you. You're going to have it. It goes beyond the awakening of needing something. You're going to have the desire. It's a normal process. You want to have a healthy relationship with God. You want to have a healthy relationship with your family, with whoever it is. You're going to have a realization, awakening, and you're going to have a longing. You're going to have to want that. We could get a, why isn't it that the building's not full this morning? There may be some awakening that's happened from time to time. You would have thought that we would have had a transformation after 9/11 in our United States. There was a lot of people. Y'all remember that. A lot of you do. There was a lot of people that went to church that next weekend that hadn't been in a long time. There was people that was openly professing to pray. There were people that were in earnest. There was an awakening that happened. But what happened to the desire? What happened to the longing? What are there anybody in our neighborhood that's been awakened? I'd love for them to have a longing, but I can't make them. I'd love to coach them a little bit and tell them, you know, you really need to want to. You need to have an appetite. You need to have a desire. You need to put yourself in a place. You know, when we come to this environment, we make a choice to put ourselves in a place where we could get awakened to something that would draw us closer to the Lord. We also make a choice to put ourselves in a place that would cultivate a longing for a better relationship with God. But we made that choice, every one of you that's here, or most all of you, there's maybe some of the little ones that didn't make that choice, but you made that choice to come here. I'm glad you did. And I hopefully before the end of our service, you'll realize I need to cultivate my want to. I need to cultivate my longing. And not just be a dreamer. But I want to cultivate the desire. Hope and longing are two things that we do without any physical action. You know that you could be longing right now for the end of service and for us to say the last amen. And you could be hoping that the preacher won't talk too long and you don't have to do anything physically. You can just sit there. You can even look this direction and be hoping that I'd sit down. You can be hoping for something and not make any movement. I'd like to notice two examples in the scripture. One has a positive outcome and one has a negative of some hope. So I'd like to go to Acts, the 8th chapter, and notice the negative one first, I believe. In Acts, the 8th chapter, we have the Apostle Paul in his interaction with Felix is what we're going to read. Acts chapter 8, verse 36, I believe is what we want to read. This is the positive one. Sorry. This is where Philip met the eunuch. Maybe we'll read up above there. Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And he went on their way, and there came a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? So I want us to think about what happened here. I'm going along, man riding in a chariot. He's reading the book Isaiah, and I don't know if he had a puzzled look on his face or what it was, but Philip, he ran up there and joined himself to a total stranger and heard the man reading or noticed what he was reading and interjected into conversation. Do you understand what you're reading? And the man said, I don't, unless somebody explained to him. So Philip began to take what he was reading in the book of Isaiah and he began to preach to him Jesus. And in the course of doing that, what happened? The man's understanding was woke up. I realize this is what the prophet's talking about. This Jesus, this man is talking, that's what he's talking about. And somewhere between there and this pool of water, there was a longing that happened. If he hadn't had a longing and a desire, guess what they would have done? They'd have drove right on by that water. They'd have never stopped. But there was a longing that happened, and he said to Philip, Philip, maybe, I don't know, maybe he didn't even know his name. He said here, see, here's water. What would hinder me from being baptized? What could keep me from actually putting my dream, my longing, to action? How long did it take? How far did they go? Maybe a mile? Maybe 10? I don't know. It wasn't very far because they was riding in a chariot, pulled by a horse, probably. But he had the appetite awakened in him, and then he had this longing, I want to be part of that. Have you ever come and noticed that somebody had something in their spirits, and you said, I want some of that. It was kind of an awakening. And then there was this longing, and how do I do that? And then you need to put some legs under that dream and not just be dreaming about it. So I'd like to read the other one. It's on over here in Acts, the 24th chapter. Another man that was awakened, and I believe there was a little glimmer of longing. But he didn't act on it the way he should have. Acts the 24th chapter, beginning verse 22. And when Felix heard these things, having a more perfect knowledge of that way, he deferred them and said, when Lysias, the chief captain, shall come down, I will know the uttermost of your matter. And he commanded a centurion to keep Paul and to let him have liberty. And then he should forbid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, I'll just say here that according to people that knew the history, that knows history and would tell us more details about this, that it wasn't that Felix, being a Roman ruler or leader, governor at this time, it wasn't that he was a pious man. It wasn't that at all. He was a very wicked man. He had done some things like prevented a husbands and wives from causing them to be separated. And this Drusilla that was a Jewish, it's said by those that know history that she had left her husband and married this man. So He was not even more. He wasn't a moral, upright man at all. But he was aware of Jewish customs because he was married to a Jewish woman at this time. So verse 25 says, "And as he reasoned, as Paul reasoned, of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come." Don't you think the things he reasoned about most likely was causing Felix and Drusilla to feel uncomfortable? There was an awakening that happened. And he said here, "Felix trembled and answered, 'Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee.'" You know, there was an awakening, and there was a little period that there was a longing. No one wants to be punished. No one wants harsh consequences. Everyone wants things to turn out right. And he listened to Paul, and he listened to the point that he did what? He trembled. He was getting the message. And I believe there was not only an awakening, but there was this appetite. There was this longing. There was a desire. And it was just like a flash in the pan, so to speak. It was a very brief thing. And he told Paul, "I want you to go now. But when it's a more appropriate time for me, not appropriate for doing business with my soul, but a more appropriate time for me, I'll call you." But we don't have any record of him ever calling. The eunuch went home blessed, did he not? And Felix, as far as we know, went to the grave, a condemned man. And when God comes, Felix is going to be one of those that stands and hears, "Depart from me, ye worker of iniquity." As far as we can read in the scripture, that's what Felix's judgment is going to be. You know, longing doesn't have to be a long period of our life, but it's very real. May the Lord help us, not only in spiritual things, but in temporal things, to allow longing to motivate us to do something. But it's a very real part. I'd like to go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, and notice the 32nd verse. This is a consequence of, you know, the Lord gave the Israelites a lot of promises, and if they didn't follow his instruction, there was serious consequence. So let's read here in verse 32. This is a consequence. God says, I'll maybe read verse 15. He says, "But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, and all that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee." Now I want to look down in verse 32. This is one of the curses that will come. He says, "Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand." You know what it's like? I hope you don't. You know what it's like to long for something and realize you can't make it happen. There is no way you can make it happen. He says this is going to be one of the consequences if you fail to hearken unto my voice and to obey my commandments. Your children will be taken by another people. Your eyes will look and will fail. That means you'll look until you get old. You'll look until you don't have any life left. Longing for your children, but they've been trapped by something else. By the things of this world, by a foreign nation. They've been taken away if you fail to follow the commandments of the Lord. He says you'll look, they'll fail with longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand, no ability. Longing can be a weary place to long for something. I'd like to go to 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, and notice what the writer says here. 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14. I got to get 2 Chronicles. He says, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. Who's speaking here? It's the Lord of heaven. The God of heaven is speaking to Solomon. And Solomon here is becoming the king after David his father. And he says this, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, and seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. Do you see the longing? Do you hear it? Do you feel it in this verse of the God of heaven? He's longing for mankind. And if he said that to Solomon, what do you think he'd say today? In the world that we live in. Don't you think that the God of heaven is longing for mankind to humble themselves and pray and to repent? Don't you know he'd be willing to bring healing to our nation, to our world, to the unrest, to the violence, to the conflict? I believe the Lord is longing. I believe his longing is extraordinarily more than anything we could experience. He wants mankind to want his blessings. But he's wanting it for us. And we've got to want it. You see how important it is for us to have a longing for the things of God, for having a relationship with him. Longing is a valuable component. It's a valuable factor in us ever achieving the things that we want to achieve in life. Our Heavenly Father is longing for mankind to come and say, God, I'm sorry. I wish that I'd done better. Can you forgive me? Will you forgive me? Our Heavenly Father is longing for that today. He'll meet us, mankind. He'll meet mankind more than halfway, I believe. I'd like to end with a verse, passage of verses over here in Titus, the 2nd chapter. I told you earlier, if we'd done all the dreaming and we never put anything to practice, that we'd be labeled a dreamer. Just longing for something and never really putting anything in motion. But there's something that I want us to realize that we need to have a longing for continually. And we can long for it all of our life and we'll still get to experience it longer than we long for it. All right? That's a little bit of a riddle, so let's read it. In Titus, the 2nd chapter, beginning in verse 11, he says here, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Lord, help us to have a longing, a looking for that blessed hope. What's he talking about? Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. What's he talking about? Don't you think he's talking about longing for the opportunity to spend eternity with heaven, with God in heaven? That's what he's talking about. He said, looking for that blessed hope and that glorious appearing. We should cultivate. It'll keep us on track. It'll help us, motivate us, and focus our efforts in our spiritual walk if we will cultivate this longing for that hope of the glorious appearing of Jesus Christ. He's talking about the transition, the judgment day, the time when we come to be blessed with an eternity. Can you imagine what it's going to be like to spend eternity with God? I can't really. I just know that I want to cultivate that appetite and that desire to be with God. I want to have that longing there, because folks, without a longing, we can be awakened that there's going to be a judgment. There's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. We can be awakened to that. But if we don't allow longing to be part of our nature and the fabric of our desires and our appetites, we will become disoriented. Have you ever been disoriented? Have you ever been in a place where you didn't really, if you don't really care where you're going and you just get in your vehicle and start driving, you probably end up being lost. I had an experience. Oh, I don't know. This is going to really tell on me. In the last few months, it's probably been in the last year, I'd been over at Rodney's house and we'd worked late on his project. And I got in my truck and I had something else on my mind. And I pulled out of his driveway and I went down, and I think I turned right when I should have turned left. And I was driving along, and I drove a couple miles or something, and it was like, I don't even know where I'm at. And I thought, well, somewhere I'm going to have to come to an intersection. I mean, I was not thinking. I didn't have my mind on where I wanted to go. And I finally came to an intersection. It's like, all right, I know. So I'm not sure how I got here. That's pretty scary. But anyway, I was able to get my mind back on track and I went home. But if we don't have a longing, if we don't have a desire, Lord, I want to make it to heaven. I want to get there. If I don't cultivate that longing, folks, we're going to get disoriented. We're going to go along, and yes, I remember the day that the Lord dealt with my heart. I remember knowing that I had a need, and yet my longing just kind of fizzled out. We can long for that day all the rest of our life and still experience it much longer, because it's eternity. I want to challenge you this day to make sure you have a longing for the right things. Next Sunday, with the help of the Lord, I want to talk about craving. I want to talk about how that we're going to work towards those things. You know, it's one thing to be awakened to something new. It's another thing to have a longing. But there's another thing to realize we have a deadline to meet. And we have to have a craving. Lord, help us today to cultivate a longing for a close relationship with the Lord. If we don't have the longing, not going to get it. You know, I could want my boys, or you could want your children to pick up their dirty clothes or put their hangers up or wash their hands or take their shoes off or whatever it is you want them to do. You could want that for them. I want them to want it. But until they want it, it's going to be a constant area of discipline. It's just going to be a constant thing. You got to keep working on it all the time until they want it. The Lord wants us to have a relationship with Him. And the question is, do we want it? Do we have that longing? You pray for me.